Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where we try to tell you the things that HGTV just is not ever going to tell you happen in this business. And today, I'm super excited to introduce y'all to a good friend of mine who's a realtor in Jacksonville, Florida. We have Missy Howell with us today.
Good morning.
So, Missy, tell our listeners, well, I already told them you're in Jacksonville. I gave away that secret. But tell them how long you've been in the business and a tiny bit of background on you.
So I've been selling real estate for 10 years, and prior to that, I retired from 30 years in the real estate banking business, and it was, you name it, I did it on the real estate banking side. So I felt like it was time for me to go explore and learn how to do something different, and but I still loved real estate, so I thought, okay, the natural course here is for me to go get my license and learn how to do this side of the business.
And that was how many years ago you made the switch?
10.
Look at there, a whole decade in, and we won't even count up those other years. You must have gotten started at the working world at like the age of 5.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, so before you tell your story, of course, there's two ground rules to the podcast, as all my regular listeners know. One is that you can use any salty word except for the F-bomb, GD, or see you next Tuesday, because I'm allergic to those words. And if there's any kind of guilty party involved, don't give their real name. Make up a fake name for them.
Easy enough.
And with that being said, can't wait to hear what you've got to share.
So our market today in the Jacksonville market, Northeast Florida market, and it's this way all over Florida, and I think it's this way in a good deal of the country as well, is where we're faced with multiple offers. The inventory is very, very low in Northeast Florida. We're, depending on which micro market we're in, there could be as little as a 2-month supply. Some of the other markets might have 6 months, but most of our markets on average are between a 3 and 4 month supply. And that's all inventory. That's not just the good stuff, that's everything. So as you can well imagine, when the good stuff goes on the market, it goes very quickly and generally with multiple offers. Now, a lot of people think that this market just recently started, but it started about mid-2013. And we had so much inventory at the time, nobody paid any attention because there was still plenty of inventory to go around. But by 2014, people started feeling that. Buyers would say, where's all the property? What do you mean? This is all you have. Well, I had a listing that about a year before we listed the property, the sellers called and said, hey, we're thinking about selling our home in the next year. We want to take the move up. We want you to take a look around and give us some thoughts and ideas on what we can do to prepare our house to go on the market. And I'm like, you all are such smart people. I would love to come do that. So I did. And their house was meticulous anyway. But I did give them, it needed to be updated. And I told them, I said, if you don't have an appetite to update it, whether it's financially or you just don't want to go through the mental aggravation of it, then that's fine. Just understand, you're not going to get, your house is going to be like everybody else's out there. And they're like, okay. Now, the one thing that made this house stand apart was that it was a pool home. And a lot of people think, oh, pool homes in Florida are nothing. But in Northeast Florida, maybe 1 out of 10, 1 out of 15 homes at best has a pool.
Really? So in my head, y'all all have a pool.
Yeah, no, that's not so much the case in Northeast Florida. But you're right, Lee. Most people who are migrating or transferring into the Northeast Florida market, they think everybody's got a pool. So in this case, we had something that not everybody else had out there, and that was a pool. Now, not everybody else wants a pool out there either. So it, while it contributes to the value, it wasn't at the time contributing a huge amount back to the value. So we went through, well, a year later, they call and say, okay, Missy, we're ready to put the house on the market. I came. Well, these people had gone above and beyond. These are the kinds of sellers that we want to have every single time we take a listing.
They
updated their bathrooms, and instead of replacing cabinets, they had them refaced, and it was the same thing in the kitchen. They laid down new tile. They laid new backsplash. They put on granite counters. This house shone. There was not anything in this house that had not been touched. It had a new roof. It had a new air conditioner within a couple of years, plus it had the pool. So I told them, I said, your house is going to go very quickly. Here's the range where I think your home will sell. And Lee, I don't ever tell somebody this is where your price is going to be, because the only person that knows what the price is going to be is the buyer that brings the offer and gets accepted. That's it. So I always tell the sellers, here's the range where I believe your house is going to sell. Now, depending on where and how fast you want this property to sell, mainly how fast you want it to sell, where do you want to place the price? And that, you know, you and I both know the price belongs to the seller. So they priced it at the very, very top end of that range. Said, okay.
Which you would expect with all the upgrades they've done. That's a reasonable thing that they would choose to do.
That's exactly right. So they did. We put it on the market on a Friday evening. It went in MLS on a Friday evening. Now, with our MLS, we have the opportunity to use a product, showing desk, showing time, and where agents can go in and schedule appointments online and request those appointments, and either the listing agent, and for the tech-savvy sellers, they can actually go on ahead and approve that showing. It's a very handy technology advice to have, our technology piece to have out there. For agents who aren't tech-savvy, they can also call the office and schedule that or call me. In this case, the after-hours online requests started coming in immediately. And by 10 o'clock that night, we had something like four or five showings already for the next morning. And the seller was going on ahead and approving those showings. The next morning, all of my phone, the seller's phone, and my office phone started blowing up with requests to see this property. Long story short, within 24 hours of the first showing, we had 10 offers, and we called them off. Actually, once I got the second offer, which was about noon that first day that it was available to be seen, I sent a message out to all of the agents who had scheduled showings. I put a note in MLS that we had multiple offers and that highest and best offers were due the next day by 4 p.m. It was the only way to try to get a control of the situation. It was just going crazy. So fast forward to 4 o'clock the next day, I had received the 10 offers. And telephone calls from agents saying, can I come in at 4:30? Can I do this? Can I do that? And of course, I called the seller and they're like, we need to stop. We need to get this done. I'm like, okay, it's fine. Because we always want to leave that up to the seller.
And I just want to input there. I love that you say that, because we get agents that get so angry when we can't accommodate their schedule. But you think about the sheer volume of stress that seller's under. They can't handle it forever.
Oh, exactly. This couple they also had two dogs. So they basically left their house for a day and a half to accommodate all these showings, which was just, they deserve like gold crowns for that. So at 4 o'clock, I had everything that I needed, and I began to do, and for the lay people out there who don't understand what it's like to deal with multiple offers, from a sales associate standpoint or a broker associate or agent or whatever you want to call us in your state, we sit down and do net sheets, meaning that we do the calculations that show the sellers, here's what you're going to net after this sale is consummated on every single offer. So I sat
Missy,
down.
Missy, I think you should point out that that's what a professional realtor does, because not all realtors do. So it's definitely something a consumer should expect if they've hired the right agent. So let's just clarify that you are a step ahead of a lot of your competitors, and you know that.
I do know that, and I do take that for granted for some time, and thank you, Lee, for pointing that out. This is part of our responsibility. And as a professional licensee, all licensees should be doing this with their customer, and definitely all realtors should be doing this with their customers. So backing up. So I do this, and it takes me about 2.5-3 hours to do this, because I want to make sure my numbers are correct and I'm doing all the details. So I take my about 8-inch stack of printed out offers on this property, my grid that I use to outline all of these offers, the net sheets on each one of them in case the seller has questions, and my calculator, and off I go. We spent about 2 hours reviewing each and every offer, and I'll tell you that the interesting thing is when we ask for highest and best, sellers don't always take the highest, and the best is so subjective to every seller that no one can assume that what they're presenting will or won't fly. So in this case, the two that they came down to, the two decision makers, one was the highest. The second one was not the highest offer, and it wasn't even the second highest offer, but they had a larger down payment. Both had equal financing terms. Both had comparable closing dates. Both had comparable requests as far as what they wanted. And so it really came down to the down payments. And ultimately, the seller chose the larger, the higher amount. Now, my caution to them was, understand that it still has to appraise. So just because you have this offer that's way up here doesn't necessarily mean that's what you're going to end up with at the end of the day. When that appraisal came in, it did not appraise for that higher amount. It appraised, it appraised for down in the range where I told them it would sell. So it wasn't a surprise to them, but the buyer wanted the house so badly that they didn't go all the way up to where they were, but they did compromise and agree at a point in the middle. So everybody was happy there.
And it's a very rare win for that to happen because a lot of buyers get very stuck on that appraised value.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. As do sellers. You know, well, they said they'd pay this. Why can't they do it? Well, they don't have enough money to do that because they're depending on their lender to help them with that. So, yeah, absolutely. Now, then I had to go through the task of calling each one of the agents. I don't just email. I do send an email, but I always try to call as well because I just think that it's the right thing to do. It's the personal conversation. And if they have questions that I'm able to answer, I'd like to answer them. So I'm calling back, and there was one that was, it was presented with seller financing, which, of course, the seller didn't want to do that.
Heck no.
Well, when I called that agent back, he said, well, they didn't want seller financing. I said, well, go back and look at your offer because that's what you checked. And that probably would have been one had he checked the correct box that the seller would have considered. So that's another lesson learned is make sure your details are correct.
Right, because that's a critical piece of information.
Right, yeah. His buyer customer just lost out possibly on that great house. Because he did not use, you know, the care that he probably should have. So that was another lesson learned.
And the consumer doesn't know how to read the contract enough to check behind their realtor.
Well, absolutely not. And that's the other thing, Lee, when you talk about being a professional in this business, you're going to review in detail every section of that contract, not just the fill in the blanks. Obviously, this didn't happen on that one either. But you're going to review every single section of that contract because both parties need to understand what are the pros of the agreement and what are the cons and what are your risks. And both have risks. So if you're not going through that as thoroughly as you should be, you probably need to sit back and think about, are you using the skill, care, and diligence with your customer that you should be?
And go back to class if you need to.
That's exactly right. I have another situation that came up this weekend that if we have time, I'd like to quickly throw out there because this is one I've never heard of. And maybe you have, but I sure haven't.
Oh, as soon as I say I've heard everything, I hear something new. So go for it because I feel like this is very timely in many markets and consumers need to understand what's happening out there because we have to remember too, when we talk multiple offers, sometimes a consumer thinks we're doing it to drive the price up, but we're really telling them the truth that they want the house.
Absolutely. Well, in this case, and I seriously think this has everything to do with this pink full moon that's coming about tomorrow. I really do. It started Friday, just the weirdness, the craziness. I had two buyer customers in contract. Both contracts fell apart Friday. Different reasons. One was inspections. One was a seller default, but they both fell apart. And we know that we never like to do that because, you know, it's hurtful to the buyers. It's hurtful to us. And it's like, oh God, here we go again. So anyway, it did. Well, Saturday, I got a call from buyer number one. Hey, this house has gone on the market. Are you able to take me and see it? Because I think it's really something that we're going to want to jump on. And I said, you know what? I've already got a commitment for today, but I do see that they're having an open house. Would you mind going to the open house? If it's something that you love, I will take time tomorrow morning. We'll go together and we'll get that offer in. And he said, I don't mind. You know, these are experienced homeowners. They bought and sold many homes. They're like, no, we're happy to go do that. That's no problem. He called me back that night and said, you don't need to go with us. We're ready to make an offer. And I said, okay, we're going to write up this offer. This was probably about 8 o'clock that night. And I said, are you okay? I looked in MLS and the agent had put notes in there that seller was going to hold all offers until Monday and to go on ahead and bring a full price offer because he knew that there were going to be multiple offers. After seeing this house online and seeing where it was priced to sell. This was an agent who learned about positioning, price positioning. So I agreed with the seller. I said, you know what? I think you're, or with the buyer. I said, I think this is going to go quickly. I said, I'll write this up in the morning. The buyer or the seller is going to hold all the offers until Monday. So I'll write it up in the morning, send it over to you. We'll review it and you can sign it and we'll get it submitted. Great. So yesterday morning, I'm doing as I said that I would do with the buyer. Buyer number two calls. We love this house. We want to go see it. Can you show it to us today? It is the same house.
That's the worst feeling ever.
It is the same house. And I said, okay, here's what I have. I have another buyer who I am writing an offer on the very same house. So here's what I'm going to tell you we can do. I can legally represent both of you and not share the details because I can do that in the state of Florida. However, should you choose that I don't do this, then you have the option. I'll engage my broker and a teammate to who I am training, but I'll also engage my broker so that you have expert advice through the negotiations to handle your negotiations. Should you win, I'll step back in, can represent you through the transaction. Are you okay with that? Yes, I am. So fairly enough, I call the other buyer and I say, you have to understand, I have another buyer who is interested in the same house. And I gave buyer number one the very same options that I gave buyer number two, because I'm all about fair and balanced. So buyer number one says, I want you to represent me. I called you first. I don't want you to represent the other person. I said, fair enough. So I called the other person. I said, you no longer have a choice. We're going to do as I recommended. And they were totally okay with that. But he wanted me to still meet him at the property because he felt confident and trusted my opinion. And these were first-time home buyers. And I said, absolutely, I will.
Yeah.
But the other agent will be there who will be writing your offer. Any general questions about the contract, the transaction, anything like that, I'm happy to give you my expertise on. Any details about the offer that you might make, you're not going to talk to me about it. You're going to talk to this other agent. Fair enough? Yes, absolutely. So we did that, and I addressed all of their questions concerned. So long story short, they have the offer now submitted. So I have two customers with offers in on the same house right now.
And you handled it in the only way that a professional can, but it's not unusual in a low inventory market because when there's nothing out there to pick from and you're working the same geographical area, it's likely to happen.
Well, and the common denominator here, pool home. So once again, if you're looking for a pool home in Northeast Florida, they're becoming more and more popular. People are getting smart. The funny money isn't around like it was 10 years ago, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, where you could just go in and get a home equity loan for 125% of the home's value. That money's gone. So people understand, okay, do I want to buy the home with the pool and pay 50% less for it, maybe 60 or 70% less for it? Or do I want to buy the house and then put the pool in and pay full price? And people are getting, oh, I want to buy the house with the pool. So those pools are becoming more valuable than what they even were 1 and 2 years ago. because the demand is up.
It does sound like, too, if somebody has a home that they're thinking of selling, they should contact you to talk to your pool contractor because maybe that will change their situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We've got a ton of takeaways in the stories that you have, but the biggest thing I'd like to point out is that 10 years in the business, you've seen a lot, but you're obviously continuing to educate yourself and to make sure that you're given the best experience possible, knowing that each one of these sellers has a lot of stress and decisions to make. And it's not our decision to make as their realtor. And I think that the ego takes over for a lot of agents and they forget it's not their house. And same thing with our buyers, because it's still a hard decision to make and they need us to guide them but not decide for them.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. You know, what I knew when I went into real estate sales 10 years ago was I don't have 30 years to invest into another career. Maybe I do, but I don't want to take 30 years to invest into another career to learn everything I need to learn. So I made a commitment there to keep my butt in a seat every year. That's the commitment to me. I reinvest back into me, which to me is reinvesting back into my business.
Exactly. And your clients.
And Mike, that's exactly right. And, you know, so people will look at my card and they go, oh my gosh, you've got the alphabet behind your name. And while that doesn't mean a lot to customers, it does mean a lot to other agents out there. They understand what those initials mean. And what I explain to my customers is that it's because I have a commitment to what I do for you. I want to keep educated. And every time I invest in myself, I earn a little degree. And that's what those initials are.
And I'm glad you said that, because I get a lot of realtors that say, well, you shouldn't try and put me down because I don't have designations. And I say, hey, you might be great, but if you don't take the time to take the education and then tell us what you've done, how in the world is anybody supposed to know that you're different than the other 1.3 million realtors out there, not counting the licensees that aren't realtors?
The two designations, Lee, that probably gave me the most benefit as far as education, networking, the two are probably my very first one, which was GRI. I think every realtor should be required to obtain their GRI.
And by the way, it's been revamped in most states. So if you're a realtor who's taken it in the past, you might want to go look at it again because it's entirely updated.
Yeah, good point. And for those of you who don't know what that is, it's Graduate of Realtor Institute, and it's like a smorgasbord of everything that a realtor should know whenever they go out and meet with the public. You're not going to become an expert in anything, but you're going to get enough information that you're going to know what to do and where to go to handle that situation.
Exactly. And be less of a risk, too.
Absolutely. And then the second one is my CRS, which I know is near and dear to your heart.
I was hoping you'd say that, because if you didn't say CRS, I was going to come through this phone at you.
Yeah, no, it is. It is the Council of Residential Specialists is an elite group. And Lee, I'm going to let you get on your soapbox with this one.
Well, the thing about CRS, that's the Certified Residential Specialist, is that you have the designations anybody can get, and then you have designation like CRS that not everybody can get, because you have to really invest in it, the money, the time, and complete the transaction. So consumers don't always know the difference unless we tell them, but from realtor to realtor, I don't give any referral to somebody who's not a CRS because I don't know that they're as vested in the business as they could be.
Kudos. I do that as well. I look for two things. I look for CRS and I look for, and I'm going to plug another council, Women's Council of Realtors. Because
it's a huge organization.
Mm-hmm. And it is very much an organization of professional women in this business and men who are full-time, who are serious about their business. They are interested in developing not only their business and their networking, but their leadership abilities. So these two organizations are the nearest and dearest to my heart. And those organizations are what has helped me be successful and grow through these 10 years and grow my business when, quite frankly, a lot of other people were bailing ship because of the times that we went through in 2008, 2009, 2010, and so on.
Well, there's realtors out there that say they don't have time to invest in these organizations. And my response to them is that if you don't make the time for your business, then your business will die.
Absolutely. You know, our lives are a piece of pie that it's our responsibility to cut that pie accordingly. We should be investing time and money into ourselves, into our business, into our families, into our spiritual life, into our hobbies. That's how we have a balanced life. And while we can't do it all the time, and people who know me know that I have a tendency to get out of balance from time to time, I would much rather run with a full plate and with stuff falling off the edges of it than any white space on my plate. But what it means is that every now and then I have to stop and rebalance. And learning to do that, it takes practice and it takes a commitment. And sometimes it takes making appointments with myself or my husband on my calendar to do that. But absolutely, you can do it.
Well, Missy, it's always good to hear from somebody that's completely dedicated to this profession as more than a hobby. So if anybody's looking for a professional in Jacksonville or the rest of Northeast Florida, whether they're a realtor who's got somebody that needs a professional there or a consumer who would like to call the best first and not waste time on anybody else, how can people reach you?
Okay, so my email address is Missy, M-I-S-S-I, like Mississippi, 904, which is our area code, Holmes, H-O-M-E-S, at gmail.com. And that's probably the easiest way to reach me.
And if you are driving down the road or, you know, doing some work, maybe taking a class, you're at the break, and you didn't have a chance to write down Missy's information, it will all be in the show notes for this episode, so you can access it anytime. Missy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Lee, it has been such a pleasure, and I always love spending time with you, whether it's face-to-face or on the phone. You're one of my favorite people in the world, and we all love you for giving your time and dedication back to the real estate profession. Thanks so much.
Hey, we build each other up. That's what we do. And by the way, if you're somebody out there listening who is a realtor, broker, investor, inspector, lender, or a consumer, and you've got your own stories about life in the trenches of real estate, give me a shout on Twitter at Lee Brown or any of the networks, and I can feature you in a future episode of the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe for more episodes of Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Missy, I will see you around the circuit at some point, and I will see all of my listeners next time.
All right. Thanks so much, Lee.
All right. See you guys later.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.